Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode 71.
And if you're possibly driving across the desert currently right now while you're moving, welcome again.
Who's moving?
One of our Twitch friends is moving to LA. And if also if you may possibly had a card shoved in your hand at a gas station as you're leaving your shift, welcome.
Welcome, gas station attendant.
So with that being said, our friends over at the Dog Show and Dark Windows podcast, Kevin Carlton has always said, "It's like, I love your guerrilla marketing tactics." Well, over the weekend, I had one of their shirts on that they gave us, and the guy working the counter was like, "What's Dark Windows?" So I explained him to that, and I told him there's another show that's made locally called Macabre Emporium and whatnot. And of course, I didn't have any of our cards in the truck, so we rushed home, dodging, you know, having to go around a train, basically, safely, for anybody assumes the worst on that. And then got there just before he left to give him one of our cards.
I mean, clearly we didn't drive into a train.
Right.
We're here.
Yeah. Surprise, we're actually doing the podcast from the other side from now on.
Ooh, spooky.
Ooh, it's spooky. I still need to make that a new button on here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow. So, that Gojira performance. Yes, we're going to fucking talk about this.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
How many times have you watched it?
I probably watched it about five times since we've seen it on.
Oh, I've watched it much more than that. Right.
I think one of my favorite memes right now, there's one that has Milhouse from The Simpsons with a Gojira shirt on. It's like metalheads before the Gojira performed the Olympics. I knew them before they were on there or something like that.
Oh, God.
And then there's the one where they have like the flip of Deadpool where he's like holding the picture, caressing it.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to be originally a picture of Wolverine. Well, it's Hugh Jackman's Wolverine caressing the picture, and it's a picture of Gojira on the former prison. And I don't remember what it is technically. Because our friends at West of Nowhere podcast, yes, I'm finally getting around to this, Levi, had made mention about he's big into Marie Antoinette and world history.
Prison she, or the jail that she was held at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, he brought that up in the West of Nowhere podcast on their episode today, and they always give us a thank you, and I always forget to say that, so thank you, Levi and Sean, I think. I can't remember because I'm doing
Ben?
This. No.
No, not Ben.
I'm pretty sure it's Sean because I'm doing this off the top of my head.
Thanks, scripting. Levi, and perhaps maybe a Sean.
Yep. For shouting us out every week on West of Nowhere.
Yeah,
West and of Nowhere. And if also you want more history, go also check out the Remedial Scholar.
Yeah, do that.
They were talking about it on their episode today, and that's, and Levi was speaking about that was a prison, and then it was a palace for somebody at some point too, along the lines of history. So that's why it was all there, you know. And yes, the song was from the movie Les Miserables or something, whatever it's called.
You mean Les Miserables?
Yes, Les Miserables, I guess. I don't know. So
for us uncultured white folk.
Right. Speaking of those, the whole entire, the memes of it being the Paris Olympics this year being sponsored by Satanism, that's like fucking hilarious. You've seen the one where it's like Paris is supposed to be on fire, then there was like the devil in the corner.
No, people are stupid.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But yeah, basically, just remember, most Christian, you know, traditions and whatnot were ripped and stolen from paganism, because from previous episodes we found out that they've moved holidays to cover that stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Good old Christians.
And we're not condoning because, you know, there's like good and bad people. But, you know, it just also shows, you know, when faith is put over education, basically.
Yep.
But before we get into that, what do you got for this week? Let me guess. Underwater basket weaving.
No.
Nope.
No.
What do you got this week?
Underwater pottery.
Oh, no. That might make it a little bit more difficult. Clay,
I know.
Adding that much more water probably screw up your pottery.
Mm, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess so.
What you got this week?
I have my on this day because it's a Sarah episode this week.
It's a Sarah-sode.
Yep.
Woo.
Then I'm going to guess it's true crime.
It's actually not.
What? Bullshit.
It's not.
Bullshit.
It's not.
Okay, calm down. Damn.
You want to argue with me?
Yep.
It's actually true crime.
I see. I knew better. Trying to fucking pull a fast one on me. You're not Tyler.
One's Tyler.
Well, coming in, you know, the Twitch chats and starting some bullshit with the new channel reward I added last night.
Yeah.
But anyway, before we get into Sarah's story, case, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
I got our on this day for July 31st.
Okay, go.
No excitement? Okay, fine. Actor Wesley Snipes was born in Orlando, Florida in 1962. Wesley Snipes is best known for the movie Passenger 57, Money Train, The Blade Trilogy, and Demolition Man.
I've seen none of them.
Well, it seems like we gotta fix that for at least the Blade movies.
Well, I have seen the first Blade. I know there's more after that, yeah. And I haven't seen them.
Norman Reedus is in the second one, I want to say. Oh. Like before he was Daryl Dixon.
I wouldn't have known.
He was in either the second or third one. I know it was him, but I don't remember which one it is. The movie Basketball was released in theaters in 1998, starring the creators of South Park, Trey Parker, and Matt Stone. Basketball made $7 million at the box office, coming out to being $13.4 million today in 2024.
Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Really? Yeah. That movie's pretty great.
No, not gonna lie. At the time of when that movie came out, you know, parents had to preview R-rated movies for us to make sure it was, and I think... And my mom hated South Park, so when she knew they were attached to it, she was like, absolutely not, you're not watching this movie. Yeah,
Basketball, I think, it's the stupid humor that I like, and it was definitely stupid humor.
So I don't think, and it never really crossed my mind after that. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band performed their longest show ever at the Olympia Stadion in Helsinki, Finland, clocking in at 4 hours and 6 minutes in 2012.
6 hours?
4 hours and 6 minutes.
So say, Jesus Christ, I would leave.
I mean, we went and saw them right here, right now, and that was 2 hours, 2.5 hours, but that was a band we actually like.
I don't know that I would go see any band for 4 hours.
Yeah, I don't know if I can actually sit through Ghost's entire catalog for 4 hours.
No.
At Monroe County Fairgrounds, Lee Petty passed Fonte Flock on lap 102, making this the only pass of the race to lead the final 99 laps and win the 200-lap feature on the half-mile dirt track in 1951. And this was a NASCAR race. American officials announced Osama bin Laden's son, Hamas bin Laden, and potential successor, had been killed in a U.S. airstrike in Pakistan in 2019.
Oh, no.
I know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Right.
Canadian pro wrestler Roddy Piper died from cardiopulmonary arrest caused by hypertension at the age of 61 in 2015 in Los Angeles, California. Piper held the World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship and a World Tag Team Championship with Ric Flair.
That's so young.
Yeah.
I hate hearing that. Back when I was young myself, I was like, ooh, 40-year-old, 30-year-old. And like now that I am 40 plus.
Right. Now that you got experience under your belt.
Like, 65 is not that old.
Right.
Far too young to pass away.
Yep. But yeah, that's it. That's on this day for
today,
July 31st. And of course, here comes Ginger.
We have an extra mouthpiece in the room.
Mm-hmm. All right, you ready to get started then?
I am.
Let's go.
Okay. So let me preface this by saying that I am mad about this case. You guys will probably be mad about this case, but it's okay. We can be mad together. Okay, so this is going to be about Brooke Skylar Richardson. And she goes by Skylar, so that's what I'm going to call her throughout this. Skylar was born in Carlisle, Ohio, which is a very small town. Like, how big is the town we live in, like, population-wise?
I think it's something like 30,000, 35,000, something like that, I believe. Okay.
This town... population of 5,000.
Okay.
So it's a very small town. She has a brother named Jackson, and they both lived with their parents, Kim and Scott Richardson. And they were just your ordinary run-of-the-mill blue-collar family who seemingly kind of had like a perfect life.
All right.
Skylar and Jackson were both athletic. Jackson played football while Skylar was a cheerleader. Her position in her cheerleading team was the flyer. Do you know what that is?
That's the one they throw up in the air, isn't it?
Like my niece, yes. Right, okay. Yep. Skylar excelled in school. She was part of the student council. She joined as many like extracurricular activities that she could within the school and always got good grades. Like if you thought or you knew of Skylar, I mean, she was like the all-American
girl, basically.
Yeah. Skylar was overcome with anxiety and pressure, I guess, of being a flyer on her cheerleading team, consistently doing well in school and keeping her extracurricular activities at maximum. And she didn't deal with it well.
Well, I'm going to guess it's somewhat of an important role on a cheerleading team. So I'm sure there's a lot of stressors with it, but yeah. I was never a cheerleader, so I don't know.
Don't lie. I've seen your skirt.
Yeah. Okay.
She gave herself bulimia at the age of 12 by eating and then purging what she ate. Her parents said that it was really bad and that it controlled about 90% of her life.
No, that's unfortunate.
It is.
Came to that.
There was quite a bit of controversy that surrounded her and the way that she looked because she was so small. Mm-hmm. Saying that the parents were really to blame for her bulimia because mom, Kim, right. Especially was extremely vain and into her own looks and body image. So people kind of just assumed that Kim was telling Skylar that she needed to watch her weight and that kind of thing.
Yeah, but most kids tend to hide that kind of thing from their parents anyhow.
Yeah, but it adds up because of texts from Kim to Skylar that show up later on. With her telling her that she's her hero for losing 20 pounds and telling Skylar she needs to work out at the gym twice a day, 6 days a week. Just kind of really off the wall shit to tell a teenage girl who's already skinny as fuck.
Right.
You know? So her parents wound up taking her to the doctors and then to psychologists. She was formally diagnosed with body dysmorphia. Do you know what that is? Okay. So if you don't know what it is, body dysmorphia is characterized by constant worrying over a perceived or slight defect in appearance. That's thanks to Google. It can impact how you view your own body and make you see yourself as abnormal in some way. So say you look in the mirror and you see, like, you think your nose is fucking massive.
Right. I mean, it looks,
but you've got a perfect little, like, tiny nose.
Right.
Like, it can just make you see yourself uglier than you are or heavier than you actually are.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that Skylar did. She would look in the mirror and see that she was, like, way too big. So she continued to binge and purge.
Right. And same, we all grew up with somebody that was like, oh my God, I'm so fat. And they're like a normal, like, healthy weight, basically.
Yeah. So most people with body dysmorphia spend either too much time in front of the mirror or no time at all. Skylar was the former. She was constantly in front of the mirror. Skylar was also one that really liked to keep things to herself. Like you said, most people don't tell. But she kept everything to herself. She wasn't open with her parents literally about anything. And that played a huge part in the case that I'm about to get into. But just know that at that time, she was in a very dark place. So Skylar started to date one of her friend's cousins in 2016, whose name was Trey. Like Trey Cool. Do you know who that is?
That doesn't ring a bell.
Trey Cool. I believe he was the drummer in Green Day. Anyways, they didn't date very long before they ended their relationship. I mean, young kids.
Right.
It is what it is.
I love you after 2 weeks.
Right. By early 2017, Skylar had already moved on and was dating a boy named Brandon. He was a junior in high school. Things were going really, really well with them. He gained the approval of her parents. They just genuinely liked him and thought that he was a really good influence on Skylar. Skylar herself was really into him. She was happy, and the darkness that was kind of surrounding her for so long kind of seemed to lift away and dissipate. And people around her were starting to notice that she was happy again and that her her mental state was much better. She started to gain some weight, which Kim and Scott were thrilled with because of how skinny she was. They thought it was due to her happiness in her relationship and her time being filled with Brandon and them like going out to eat rather than the mirror and her bulimia.
Okay.
Kim's parents naively thought that Brandon had been the catalyst to help Skylar get over bulimia. Shit don't work like that.
Right.
The family decided to go on a beach trip to celebrate Skylar and where she currently was mentally. And while they were on vacation, Kim had a talk with Skylar about the seriousness of her relationship with Brandon and kind of suggested to Skylar, like, hey, do you think getting on birth control would be a good option for you? And Skylar was like, oh, yeah, she agreed. So on April 26, 2017, they went to the OBGYN to get that taken care of. Kim waited in the waiting room while Skylar went back and talked with the doctors since she was 18, could do it on her own. Mom wasn't allowed back.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure she probably could have if Skylar was like, yeah, she can come back.
Probably.
When Skylar was done, she came back to the waiting room and Kim could tell that she had been crying because she was, you know, puffy, red.
Red-faced.
Yes. Skylar told her it wasn't anything serious, just that she had a panic attack in there since it was her first time at the gynecologist's office. She didn't know what to expect, what they were going to do, just generally nervous about her appointment.
Yeah.
Everyone would soon find out, though, that this was not the reason Skylar had been crying.
Right, because I was thinking, it's like, if it's her first time going back, you know, for her first time there, I don't think you would want to go back there by yourself. But everybody's different.
Yeah. My first time I went by myself.
All right. What were you about the same age as this? Okay. Yeah. Well, see, 18. Like I said, everybody's different. But anyway.
I mean, would you really want your mom in there while somebody's looking under the hood?
No.
Right.
Because I don't have to go there to have my, you know, my hood checked. Under my hood checked.
Just your mud flaps.
Just my mud flap. Sarah's currently dead at the moment, if you can't hear.
I cracked myself up. Anyways, where was I?
Everybody was about to find out.
While she was back with the doctor being seen, Skylar was told that she was pregnant and would be having her baby in about 10 weeks. So she's very far along already.
So like, no baby bump at this point, like, at all?
I saw pictures of her on her beach vacation where they said it looked like she gained a little weight. Yeah. She really just looked pudgy. During this pregnancy, she only gained 15 pounds.
So, I mean, she was ever, like, skinny as it is because being the flyer and the eating disorder, but still.
Right. We'll get there.
Okay. I'll shut up. Stop jumping the gun like I normally do.
Yeah, and,
like,
you say sure shit. Do, don't you?
Like what I normally do, and then it's like this next fucking thing you're going to say.
Yeah, pretty much. The doctors weren't able to pinpoint a conception date because they didn't have, like, actual dates that she had had sex to calculate that off of. So they had to guess. They were way off. She was actually already 36 weeks pregnant, giving her about 4 weeks until she had the baby, if things went normal, the way they're supposed to, but sometimes that doesn't happen. She refused prenatal care, which I would think it would be a little late to start anyways, given the fact that she's basically full term and could have that baby at any time. Yeah,
when you're like 4 to 10 weeks away, but I'm just a dude. I don't know any better.
4 weeks away.
I said 4 to 10 since they didn't really know at first.
Right. But
no, wait, I misunderstood you. They miscalculated.
And so. Yes. Instead, she went ahead and asked the doctor to give her the birth control prescription that she had originally gone in there for. And then told them basically, like, my mom's going to be mad because that's why we came here. And if I don't walk out with something, you know, she's going to be pissed.
And you're gonna be like, well, why didn't you get it? What's going on?
Right.
You know, and start giving them, you know, the mom riot act, basically.
But the doctor went ahead and gave her the birth control anyways, just to appease her mom. A few days after this appointment, Skylar and Brandon went to prom together while she was 8 months pregnant. She wore a really pretty red dress that was extremely form-fitting that she had picked out months before she ever knew she was pregnant, and it still fit her absolutely fine. No one noticed a baby bump. which to me is crazy, being 8 months pregnant, there's always a bump. Right, but I really don't think she had a bump at all. On July 14th, 2017, there was a knock on the Richardson's door, and it was the police asking to speak to Skylar.
Okay.
They took her to the police station for questioning. And once they actually got there, they let Skylar know why she was there. Basically, they said, hey, your OBGYN office called us and let us know that you were pregnant and that you apparently had the baby, but never sought professional help, like, for the birth of it after the baby, and that they had been hearing rumors that Skylar had it and buried it in her backyard.
Not where I expected this to go.
I was
going to
say, your face kind of said, well, that's not what I was thinking.
Oh, my thought was, is like, she goes to this formal dance, she has a baby there, and throws it away in a fucking trash can. That's what I was thinking, where this was going to go, but not for like, hey, you know, knock, knock.
Once she was aware of why she was there, she broke open like a dam and told everything. Skylar stated that she did have the baby on May 7th and that it was a girl, but also that it was born sleeping. Stillborn. Yeah. I don't like the word stillborn.
Right.
They're born sleeping.
Right. But, you know, it's technically a medical term anyhow.
I know.
If you like it or not, but.
But saying they're born sleeping is no different.
Right.
And that's the way I prefer to say it. So.
Okay.
She said that she was having labor pains in the early morning, but hadn't told anybody because at this point, mom and dad still didn't know she was pregnant.
Right.
Let alone gave birth. And she gave birth in the middle of the night inside her bathroom at home.
And didn't make a fucking sound.
Her brother's bedroom was directly next to that bathroom, like connected wall to wall. And he said he didn't recall hearing any abnormal sounds either. No grunting or crying or just no noise from the bathroom period. Skylar said she checked the baby and that it wasn't breathing, nor did it have a heartbeat. She said that she tried everything she could to help the baby.
Other than, you know.
But nothing worked. And I had wrote this down. I was like, you know, calling 911 or yelling for your parents.
That's what I was about to fucking say. You go into panic mode, mom, dad, I need help.
That wasn't on her list of everything she could do.
Clearly it fucking wasn't, or we wouldn't be sitting here talking about her.
Correct. Afterwards, she went to the backyard, dug a small grave, and put her baby in it. Then just went back to the house and went to bed like nothing ever happened. During the interrogation process, Skylar kept insisting that she did not kill her baby. So this is the baseline as of now. Was the baby born sleeping, or did she kill it?
Right. And you know what? An autopsy is going to be able to prove that.
You would think so. It took a mere 4 hours for Skylar to unpack everything to the investigators. And after that, they went back to the house and spoke with her parents. So they basically were like, hey, Skylar was pregnant. She had a baby. Baby apparently died. She buried your grandkid in the backyard.
Right.
Like, how fucked up would that be to be her parents to have police show up and tell you that? It's an awful way to find out you're going to be a grandparent. I would assume. I've never been one. So parents went to the police station, walked right up to Skylar and hugged her.
And then whooped the shit out of her.
No. Damn it. Skylar was bawling as soon as she saw her mom and dad. She kept saying just repeatedly while she was calling her mom, mommy, that she was sorry. I'm so sorry, mommy. Mm-hmm. She told her parents that she named her daughter Annabelle and also stated that the baby didn't belong to Brandon. It belonged to Trey, the ex that she was only with for a little while.
Right.
More investigation went on. And while all this was happening, the officers were at the Richardson's house searching the backyard for the baby. And it took them no time to find the tiny little gravesite.
Oh, I'm sure.
The baby was sent to a pathologist to be looked at in hopes that they can figure out whether or not she was alive or not at birth. And this was already, I'm assuming, weeks after she had the baby.
Yeah.
So, sure. What?
Yeah, I just thought it was like that. I didn't put consideration of time in between, you know, burial and when the police heard rumors of, you know, decomposition in there.
Yeah.
But I made my comments like, well, an autopsy will determine that shit, you know, but.
Okay, so July 14th was the day that the police showed up.
Right.
To and her house.
Said May 7th.
May 7th was the day she had it, so it was there almost a month. Shortly after that, Skylar was released to go home with her parents. 6 days after the initial interrogation, Skylar was called and asked to come back to the police station for more questioning. Once she got there and they started talking to her, the investigators let her know that the pathologist made a statement that the baby had been burned. Her frail skin was charred. Charred. Skylar immediately went into self-preservation mode and outright denied knowing anything about the baby being burned, why it would be charred. She said she had no idea what they were talking about. Investigators continued to question her, and she finally came out with a form of the truth. She said she might have burned the baby's leg with a lighter.
Might have.
She said that she was trying to cremate the baby with a lighter, but only just a little. The more she was questioned, the more her story changed. She stated now that the baby was alive, as she heard gurgling but not crying when it came out of her. She wound up being arrested for reckless homicide, and her parents bonded her out on a $50,000 bond immediately. So now she has freedom before her trial is set to take place.
Holy shit.
Yeah. She pled not guilty to the murder of her newborn daughter. 2 weeks later, Skylar's case was given to the grand jury, which also gave her new charges. Those being involuntary manslaughter, aggravated murder, endangering a child, and abuse of a corpse. Skylar's parents were pissed. They're like, no way those can be the charges. My daughter didn't kill her baby, and she would never do that.
Continue.
I told you it's going to piss you off, just like it pissed me off.
Oh, I know. And I'm sure everybody else at this point is fucking pissed off.
Yep. Yeah, they were all for, there can't be any endangering a child or murder or manslaughter because the baby was born sleeping. But yet, Skylar said in her talk with the investigators that it wasn't dead.
Right.
That it was gurgling, but not crying. That would mean alive, yes?
You wouldn't think so, but I'm sure there's some stupid legal bullshit with wording there.
Okay. So Skylar was arrested on the spot due to the new charges, but mommy and daddy went right to the clerk and bailed her ass out.
Judge needs to set this shit so the parents can't fucking bail her ass out. Right. But anyway.
Once the media got wind of this case, it sparked community outrage.
Oh, I'm sure.
There were protests outside the courthouse by those that felt that she was a cold-blooded killer that wanted to see her be handed the maximum sentence allowed by the state of Ohio. People went so far even as to, like, stand and protest outside of the family's house. Everyone was all in on the story's development and wanted justice for baby Annabelle. Clearly.
Right.
Time went on and another pathology report came out, but it stated the complete opposite of what the first one had. It said the first report was incorrect and that there were actually no burn marks of any kind on the baby's body.
Sure, let's see your pictures compared to the first one, guy.
This made up a huge part of Skylar's defense in this case. If the first report was wrong, yet Skylar admitted to burning the baby because she tried to cremate it, but only just a little bit, then did the unrelenting interrogation wear her out to the point of giving a false confession?
Yeah.
Remember, she did originally state that she didn't burn the baby and that she didn't kill her baby. That was her original statement. Right. But the longer they went on, her story kept changing into what it was that I just told you.
Right.
And it came out later that the investigators asked questions in a way that was extremely leading. Like,
right, to get her to confess.
Is it possible that you burned your baby? And she's like, yeah, I think I burned my baby. That kind of shit. Yeah. Leading for a confession, whether it happened or not, who knows? This worked in the defense's favor as they used that little bit of knowledge to say that everything she admitted to was done because of the power of suggestion by the investigators. Prosecutors continued to use the burn situation as truth, even though the second report stated that there were no burns at all. However, they didn't care. All they cared about was the fact that Skylar admitted to it. Skylar was put on a tether and sentenced to house arrest, where she spent most of her time reading. Skylar had planned to go to the University of Cincinnati, but that had to be put on hold because in July of 2019, Skylar's lawyers were contacted by the state to make a deal. So their deal was to take aggravated murder off of her record. And that would be the one that nailed her ass in jail for a long time. Like, that was the big scariest one, sentence-wise.
Right.
Skylar thought about it and almost gave in, because having the aggravated murder charge dropped would take a lot less time off of whatever sentence she might get. Skylar ultimately said that she would not take the deal because she was not going to plead guilty to anything she didn't do. Her trial started September 13, 2019. The biggest hurdle that they had to jump over was finding out whether baby Annabelle was dead or alive when she was born. The OBGYN was able to identify that when she was at her birth control appointment, that they did a...
ultrasound?
Thank you. An ultrasound, and that the baby's heartbeat was perfect. It was strong, and this was only 11 days before she gave birth. Stating that going from a perfectly healthy baby, basically at full term, to born sleeping 11 days later is typically not something that happens.
Right.
Not that it can't happen. It's just very unlikely.
Yeah, the odds of it are very low, I'm guessing.
It was also proven that Skylar did in fact take the birth control pills for the full 11 days leading up to its birth. There's no way to tell if that would have caused any complications at all, especially the death of that baby.
I mean, I'm going to guess that it kind of did in some, like... There's sort.
I looked, there's been no cases of death because of somebody taking birth control through their pregnancy. Like, the word I read, the like the biggest thing it can do is cause them like tubal irregularities,
okay,
like, and urinary issues, but that was it, not death. However, Skylar seemingly just didn't want this baby at all. She wasn't excited by it. She told no one she was pregnant to begin with. Not her boyfriend, not the father of the baby, not her parents, not her best friend, literally nobody. She had it, she buried it, out of sight, out of mind. She made no plans for this baby at all. No clothing was bought, nothing. Skylar's computer, however, showed some very unsavory search history, like how to get rid of a baby, as well as the process of an abortion.
It's always the search history that gives them away.
But by the time she found out that she was pregnant, it was far too late, right, to do any of that. Prosecutors argued that she did everything she could to get rid of the baby before she had it. They said Skylar's mom, Kim, knew about the pregnancy due to a slip-up from the OBGYN's office where they accidentally emailed the results of the pregnancy test to Kim instead of Skylar. So mom knew.
So, I don't know. Just keep going.
And this was backed up by a text message that they found from Kim to Skylar asking what the email about, or what the email was about that she just got about Skylar being pregnant. And Skylar convinced her it wasn't true.
Oh, yes, because a fucking doctor's office of any type is going to send an email that's fucking false information.
So, mom knew, or she's just real fucking dumb and believes what an 18-year-old girl is going to tell her.
Did she have any other siblings? I don't remember if you said that.
Yes, a brother.
Just a brother?
Just a brother.
So, I'm seeing this mom and dad's little princess can't do anything fucking wrong, so she's got them wrapped around her fucking finger if they spent $100,000 in fucking bail money.
Unfortunately, there wasn't much evidence that could be gotten off of baby Annabelle due to her age and how long she had been buried. It was stated that there were no cuts in the umbilical cord, so Skylar didn't cut it like you would normally do having a baby.
Right.
This was used as evidence that it could have been possible that she had an umbilical abruption, which means like it would have become detached at birth, and that can 100% lead to a baby passing, right, before it's born. Skylar testified that the baby was very pale when she gave birth, which is a common characteristic for babies that are born sleeping. After all of the back and forth and trying to put a puzzle together, on September 12th, 2019, Skylar was found not guilty on every charge she had except for the charge of abuse of a corpse.
Oh, fucking Ohio, what is wrong with you?
That's a felony charge, and that can carry a sentence of 1 year in prison. Instead, I think she got a huge fucking slap on the wrist, because she was only given 3 years probation. After the sentence was handed down, Skylar's dad was able to come up and speak to the judge, and his only request was that the judge allow Skylar to go home with him and mom so that they could take her to get treatment for her bulimia.
No, send her ass to fucking prison, put her in one of those little tiny fucking cells I brought up in previous episodes where they can't sit down, they have to stand up at all times, and the floor's on a little bit of a slant, so their calves are burning constantly.
But he didn't say anything about the baby, or...
Right, but still.
I wish I could have met my granddaughter.
I get that, but still. Look, Elsie, you got impeccable timing, because I need an emotional support can right now, because I'm going to lose my fucking shit.
I told you, it's going to make you mad.
Come here, buddy, for the 3 seconds you're going to let me hold you.
Yeah. So, there was no word from him about getting her mental help for possibly killing or burying their grandchild in the backyard. Just let us take her home so that we can get her help for her bulimia.
Don't tell me the judge fucking was like, yep, here you go, fucking see ya, bye.
Skylar was off of probation in 2020, which is 2 years earlier than her sentence said she was going to be on probation.
Which is always a possibility if they don't violate parole, probation, same fucking thing.
I just zoomed my whole shit out. Skylar did wind up attending college where, I don't know, don't care. She also worked part-time at the exact same law firm that defended her in her own trial. She was a walking fucking advertisement for them.
Right.
That's all I see that as.
Oh, you severed her head? Well, here, me and Skylar, she was one of our clients and we got her off scot-free, basically.
She murdered her child.
Yeah.
And buried it in the backyard and here she is.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was the part that pissed me off. I mean, the whole thing's pissed me off.
Right. I mean, one, minus, yes, how pissed off we are. I mean, technically, that's almost a good marketing scheme, almost, if you think about it.
That's why I said she's a walking advertisement for that law firm. No,
that's what I was saying. As much as this pisses you off, I mean, that is kind of a
mm-hmm.
good way to advertise. Look, we got this fucking, you know, feticide, you know, case, and we got our mom scot-free, basically, with only a slap on the fucking wrist.
1 year probation.
Now give us your money, and we're going to do the same for you.
Yep. In 2022, Skylar went through the trouble of having her court record sealed, which she won. She won that case, you know, which, I mean, lucky for her. She got to have a baby, get rid of a baby, and then live her life to her fucking fullest for nobody to find out. Unfortunately, it's all over the internet, so it's never going to be forgotten.
Right.
But yeah, that is my case for today.
Yeah, I put my cup down a little aggressive there because I'm so irritated right now.
Yeah.
Legosi's had enough of this bullshit because he's falling asleep on the fucking...
Irritated me too.
Shop desk here.
Yeah. He's like, what the fuck?
He's emotionally worn out from this story.
Yep. Me too. So, that's why I was like, fingers of fucking fury typing this these notes out. Because I was like, nuh-uh. And it took me quite a while to...
calm the fuck down?
Yeah, I was very annoyed when I was reading, and then...
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep.
So, yeah, I have nothing else to say, because clearly I've already had my feelings and thoughts explode at the end of this episode and throughout, so, yeah.
I don't think there's anything left to say.
There's not, other than, you know, see you guys next week or whatever.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think in the Facebook group or in the comments on Spotify.
Yes.
If you follow on Spotify. Or, you know, come tell us me on Twitch or whatever, and I'll, like, relay it to Sarah at some point.
Yep, at some point.
So, anyway, on that note, I think it's time we get the fuck out of here today after that story. What do you think?
Same, yep, let's go.
So, until next time.
Don't be Skylar.
And bye! Remember to creep it real. Bye!
Please go and check out our website at macabreemporiumpodcast.com. Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime, or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.